down there, and of course, Friday night, I was the one, they had me come down there on Friday night and pray. I appreciate our one lone church member showed up for that. That was Ruth King down there to support that. But, you know, of course, somebody had something to say about it, as usual. I think they got one complaint, a written complaint from a resident or somebody, but then the Freedom from Religion Foundation got involved and wrote a letter and lawyers and this and that and all around. We're about it. So I'd heard about it while we were down there at camp, and the article came out, I guess, Wednesday in the Fincastle Herald, and I didn't get to read it till we got back. But I'd already planned myself. Well, I'm going down to see the mayor either, one day this week, talk to Harry myself about it, and because I didn't know how excited they were about that prospect, but offer our support that, hey, you know, well, if you got one against, I'm going to give them one for, at least. And I'm going to come down in person and let them know about Christian Law Association, David Gibbs, Rutherford Institute, a couple other people that would probably get involved in something like this with the whole town involved with it. Ruth's dad, Brother Mays, appreciate him coming and filling in on Wednesday night. I think he's here for us Wednesday night, took care of it. But he wrote a letter. This letter is going to be sent to the Fincastle Herald. They may or may not print it. We'll find out. And he's going to send one down. Ruth's going to take one down to the town hall here this week. And Brother Mays wrote this up. I thought I'd share it with you. Men ought always to pray. Luke 18:1. Now, this is in reference to the article in the Fincastle Herald, July 10, 2013, regarding the complaint that was filed with the town of Buchanan by the Freedom from Religion Foundation concerning the prayer that was given before the Buchanan Carnival each evening. Government was God's idea. God's word says in Colossians 1:16, "For by him, God, were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, where they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him." When any individual speaks about the government, he is speaking about an institution divinely ordained of God. Granted, many wicked people have corrupted most governments throughout the world. Proverbs 29:2 says, "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn." Nowhere in our Constitution are a people or organization guaranteed freedom from religion, but freedom to exercise religion. At the time of the institution of our Constitution, the term religion pertained only to man's worship of God. The Declaration of Independence, America's founding document, was based on God's laws, and it established the biblical foundation for the Constitution of the United States. The judiciary system of the United States is based on what God had Moses install for the children of Israel in Exodus 18. The first official action of this nation declared the foundation of government in these words, "We hold these truths to be self-evident," in reference to the Bible, United States Supreme Court, Gulf C&S SFRY Company, Ellis versus Ellis, 165, got the article number and all that on there. Any organization or an individual that denies prayers to the God of creation is denying God's word. The Declaration of Independence and Constitution of the United States, the First Amendment states, "Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment or religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof." I know that a lot of people like to quote the first part of that where it says, "Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion," but they never want to quote after the comma where it says, "or prohibiting the free exercise thereof." Denying prayer is prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Remember, religion and the Constitution is a worship and relationship of mankind with and to the God of creation. As Dr. Wyatt, or W. Wyatt Mays, pastor of Mount Zion Baptist Church, Vesuvius, Virginia. So that's good. Amen. Amen. So, I was already planning. I'm still going to go down there and talk to them since I was one of the ones they called on to pray. I did pray in Jesus' name, by the way, not in his name, not in some name that you don't know what it is. I prayed in Jesus' name. I don't know how great the prayer was, but I did get in Jesus' name out at the end. So, and I'm going to go down there and tell them, look, I'm all for it. And I'll tell you what, next year we ought to do. Next year when we work at the carnival, the mayor did state in the paper that the thing is run by volunteers. If it weren't for the churches, they wouldn't get the carnival done. And I think all of our volunteers that go down to work in the carnival, we ought to have on Christian t-shirts with something real in your face on the front, like a cross with the Bible verse. We'll get some made up. I'm going to get them made up. And I think anybody, any Christian, anybody from all the churches, when you get down to the carnival, you ought to wear a Christian t-shirt or something that's got a Bible verse on it and that. If they don't like it, they can lump it, right? That's what we ought to do. Amen. All right, that don't have anything to do with this. It's going to be in Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. Real familiar verse in the Bible for us, but I think it's just, you know, it's where God lead me to preach, so that's what we got. Acts chapter 5, verse 1. The Bible says, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose and wound him up and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. And then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. And then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you, Lord, we can gather together in your name. And Lord, that we do have certain freedoms, and we still have the freedom to worship. Lord, we know people are fighting to take away those freedoms, Lord, our freedoms to pray and worship you. But we know you're still on the throne. Lord, I pray that we'll have the intestinal fortitude, Lord, to stand and stand on your word, not be afraid of the world, not be afraid of the devil, Lord, but know that you're with us every step of the way. Have your will and way in the service now, Lord. Speak to hearts here. I pray we feel your presence move among us. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message today is Hypocrisy in the Church. George Marshall said this, or George MacDonald, I'm sorry, half of the misery of the world comes from trying to look instead of trying to be what one is not. You know, one of the problems I see today, and this is something I think that maybe Christians struggle with when they first come to the knowledge of salvation is this, is that we're trying to do something to be Christians instead of just being a Christian. We're trying to do something instead of being a Christian. And, you know, we see in our text that we had a couple there. They were saved. I'll show you here in a few minutes. They were definitely a saved couple. They were in a church. They sold some land. And it was in their own power to sell the land. They didn't have to give any money to God. They didn't have to give any money to the church. That wasn't what the sin was. The sin was is in giving part of the money, but pretending they gave all the money. They wanted everybody, you know, pride got involved. I'll talk about that. But they wanted everybody to think that they had done something that they hadn't done. But, you know, one of the things, as far as like trying to do something to be a Christian instead of just being a Christian, this verse has popped up in my head over and over and over again in the last month or so. Ephesians 6:6, it speaks about this, doing the will of God from the heart. Doing the will of God from the heart. That's where we need to get to in our Christian walk. And listen, I understand this. Everybody here, we're all at different levels of Christianity. The hard thing about being a pastor of a church is you're preaching to a bunch of people, but not everybody's at the same place. And so some of the preaching's got to be evangelistic. Some of the preaching's is dealing with discipleship, but some of it has to be the milk of the Word, and some of it's got to be the meat of the Word, because not everybody can take the meat because they haven't got through the milk yet. But one of the things that's going to come out, what we need to do is do the will of God from the heart. I came out of a legalistic church. That means that there was a lot of don'ts and do's and rules, and I understand that. I mean, we got to have some rules, and we got to have some structure, and we got to have those things. But the problem is, I think most of us at that church at the time were doing things because the pastor said to do them, or not doing things because the pastor said we shouldn't do them, instead of not doing or doing them out of our heart, you know, because it was what's in our heart. Because if you get it there, See, you don't have to worry about all the rules and regulations. You know, you don't have to carry around a book of don'ts and do's with you to make sure you're not breaking one of the rules. You're doing it from the heart, and the Holy Spirit's in your heart. If you're saved and the Holy Spirit's guiding you, you're doing the will of God from the heart. Boy, what a difference that is. Boy, what a difference that is, man. I mean, you're not coming to church because you think the pastor's going to say something to you if you don't show up. You're coming to church because that's what you want to do. Boy, don't that feel better? I've been in both places. I've been there, man. I didn't want to go. I didn't want to go, but I knew old Pastor Woodard, he was going to have something to say about it. If I got down there, man, and we wasn't there, he's going to say, well, you know, what was going on? How come you weren't here? And we have to listen to all that. But when you do it from the heart, man, I mean, you know, it's just a different story. Christianity would be so much more enjoyable when we're doing the will of God from the heart. And that's where I'm trying to get you there. And, you know, we're all trying to get there. But Jesus gave a name to the practice of trying to be something that you weren't, or making people believe, really, that there's nothing wrong with trying to be something that you're not, because at least you got a goal. But what it was trying to make people believe that you're something that you're not. He had a name for it, and it was called a hypocrite. Now, I want you to know something about being a hypocrite. A hypocrite is not somebody that fails. A hypocrite's not somebody that fails to reach an ideal. Somebody that struggles or stumbles or falls into sin as they're trying to live a Christian life. That's not a hypocrite. That's, you know, because none of us have achieved or come to the place that we are everything that we could or should be. None of us have got to that point. You with me on that? It's a good amen point right there. None of us have got there. We're not all that we could be, but we've got a goal and we're shooting for that goal. But a hypocrite is somebody who deliberately tries to deceive. It's somebody that deliberately tries to deceive. And you know, think about this. How many folks today are guilty of trying to make people think that they're more spiritual than they really are? How many people are guilty of trying to make people think that they're more spiritual than they really are? Not getting too many amens on that right there. When we see it at Ananias and Sapphira, they tried to put up a lovely front. I believe what had happened was that there was a man named Barnabas, and he had bought a piece of land and sold it, and he gave all the money to the church. Now, I don't believe Barnabas was looking for any glory from man. I don't believe he did it to get the praise of men, but undoubtedly, when the word got out, that's what happened. He got some praise. He got some praise, and people were saying, boy, Barnabas, man, he gave. That was great. I think people were glorying God for it. But what happened was the word got around there, and I think the fact that Ananias and Sapphira, they heard that, that they said, hey, we want to get some of that praise that they're putting on Barnabas right now. We want to get some of that praise. The name Ananias means God is gracious, but he learned, I'll tell you what, that God is also holy. I'll tell you, that's been an emphasis in the past year. We did a whole study on the holiness of God because we're hearing so much about the love of God, the love of God. We got to the point we think God loves everything so much that he's going to overlook our sin, that God loves us so much, you know, that we can't preach about hell. We can't, you know, nothing negative, so-called negative preaching by any means. But he found out that God was a holy God. Sapphira means beautiful, but inside Sapphira had an ugly heart. And so, you know, it seems when you think about that, the fact that they just, you know, they kind of led people to believe. I don't know that they flat out lied and said, yeah, we gave all the land, we sold this and we gave all the money to God. I don't know that they did that. But sometimes you can lie without lying by just allowing people to believe something that's not true. In other words, you don't say anything to correct them. Somebody might have said something. I'm just, you know, sanctified imagination. They might have said something like, wow, man, they, you know, Barnabas sold all that land and gave all his money. And look, Ananias, you guys, boy, that was amazing that y'all sold that land and gave all the money to God. And they might have just said, oh, well, you know, and didn't say, oh, no, we didn't give all the money. We just gave part of the money. They didn't have to give any of the money, but they could have straightened it out. I'm just assuming something like that might have went down. I don't know that they flat out lied that they gave all the money. But it seems kind of shocking. That doesn't seem like a real big sin, does it? I mean, you get down to like murders and rapes and child molestations and all those kind of things that's going on in the world. It doesn't seem like such a big deal that somebody just allowed people to think that they gave all of the money on a piece of land that they didn't have to sell and give any money on to start with. Why was it that God dealt with this in such a severe way? But I'm going to tell you, we're going to look at some things just a little closer. We're going to look at that sin and see why and how serious a sin is. The number one thing, the number one reason that God dealt with that so severely was, is they were, number one, energized by Satan. They were energized by Satan. Look what it says in verse 3. Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Man, listen, I'm going to tell you what, that's a serious matter when a church member becomes energized by Satan. Huh? It's a serious matter when a church member becomes energized by Satan. Which you think, well, preacher, can a church member, somebody that's really saved, really got the Holy Ghost? Yeah, because God tells us a little later, that tells us to put on our armor, right? He tells the believers to put on the whole armor of God. Why do you got to put your armor on if Satan can't do anything to you? And if you don't have your armor on, Satan can hurt you. And I'll tell you what, the problem, the seriousness of it is Satan's not going to defeat a church on the outside. He's going to get it on the inside. Huh? How many people ever been guilty of being energized by Satan? Huh? How many ever been energized by Satan? I'm going to tell you something right now, just a little side note right here. Listen, I'm not a perfect man, and if I ever do anything to bother you or get you mad or upset and you need to talk to me about it, don't talk to me about it right before I got to preach on Sunday morning. Huh? You're being energized by Satan. Satan's using you to distract me, to quench my spirit, to grieve my spirit. Don't do that. Talk to me about it on another time. Man, we got 7 days a week. Six of them aren't Sunday. Let's talk about it on another day. Listen, we've all done it. Listen, Satan's probably used me to mess my own self up. Huh? Satan's probably used me to mess you up. Huh? We've all been guilty of it, but don't let Satan get in there and he can get us. He can get us, and it happens. And so it's a serious matter because Satan is not going to defeat the church on the outside. Them knuckleheads down there at the Freedom From Religion Foundation, they're not going to bother the church on the outside. But boy, you let something get on the inside. That's where we're going to go down. That's where it's going to go down. That's where our nation's going to go down. Listen, Satan does lie to the hearts and minds of church members, even genuine Christians. And that's the reason, as I said, we need to put our armor on. That's not written to unbelievers, but it's written to believers that we got to have our armor on. If you don't have it on, boy, Satan will get in there. He'll find a little chink in your armor and find a place to get in. Satan is a liar and a murderer, and he lied through this couple right here, and it eventually it cost them their lives. And so that's why we got to be aware of that. When God judged Ananias and Sapphira, he was judging Satan, and he was letting everybody know that he wasn't going to tolerate deception in the church. He wasn't going to tolerate deception in the church. So number one, the reason it was a serious sin was because they were energized by Satan. Another reason it was a serious sin is they were motivated by pride. They were motivated by pride. Number two, God hates pride. Proverbs 8:13 says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate." Now, hate is what? Hate is the opposite of love, right? I mean, that's the word I would choose. The opposite of love would be hate. And everybody talks about God is love, God is love, God is love, and God doesn't hate anything. It said right there, he hates pride. God hates pride. He hates pride. And that was what was at work, that was going on in their hearts. As I said, the church had probably praised Barnabas for his generous gift, but they wanted that praise. And that's another lesson. We got to be careful how we give and make sure that God gets the glory. The Bible teaches in the New Testament that the Pharisees, they love to call attention to themselves. When they gave their gifts, they did it out in a very public way so that everybody would see that they were making donations and they had their robes on and they did long prayers and prayed loud and they called a lot of attention to themselves. Pride's what transformed the angel Lucifer into Satan. Pride caused Adam and Eve to fall because they wanted to be like the gods. Pride opened the door to every other sin. I heard a fellow preach on that one time. He said, pride's at the root of every sin in the Bible. And I started thinking about it. You start thinking about every sin. Thinking about every time you sin. Think, really, you keep breaking it down, and it'll get down to pride's in there somewhere. Pride's in there somewhere with every other sin. Once a person's more concerned about their reputation than their character, there's no end to the things that they will do to make themselves look good before others. No end to what people do to make themselves look good before others. So they were energized by Satan. They were motivated by pride. And then the third thing is their sin was directed against God's church. Their sin was directed against God's church. I believe they were believers. It said that they lied to the Holy Spirit. How are you going to lie to the Holy Spirit if you don't have the Holy Spirit? Right? You've got to have the Holy Spirit, and to lie to the Holy Ghost or to grieve the Holy Spirit, you have to have them. But here's the thing. The spiritual level of the church at that time was so high that professors, just mere professors, would have been detected. That's what I like about the early church. Amen. Man, I mean, they were filled with God. They were filled with God. They were filled with the love of God. I mean, they were spiritual people. Listen, the world couldn't come in there and blend in. The world came into the church, in the early church. I'm going to tell you what, two things happened. They either got out or they got right. They got saved or they got out of there. Man, they couldn't sit in the midst. And I'm going to tell you what, the ones that came in, nothing came into the church that wasn't detected by the people of God. Because they were at a high spiritual level. And now listen, the church ought to be in that same place today. We ought to be at a high spiritual level. That's where we're supposed to be. I don't know that we're there, but we're supposed to be. And they lied to the Holy Spirit of God. They tempted the Spirit, it says, because they had the Spirit of God. And that's a proof that Satan can use believers. Satan can use genuine believers to fight against the church of God, fight against his church. He can get in there, and as I said, he's not going to get us on the outside. Man, he gets those that are not spiritually where they need to be. He gets those that are in a back-splitting condition. He gets those people that aren't prayed up. They haven't been in the Word of God. They haven't been reading their daily devotions. None. They haven't had a matter of prayer, and they're not led by the Spirit of God, buddy. And they get in, they get worldly, they get carnal, they get selfish, and then they come in with all their selfish things going on in their life, and they just want their agenda taking place. And I'm telling you what, it starts tearing churches up from the inside, and that's what was going on there. And listen, God loves His church. Jesus Christ died for the church. We just did a little teaching on the church on Wednesday night. Listen, man, I mean, God's not doing anything to compete with His church. I mean, he started the church. He established the church. He's not established another entity that's going to divide the church, because a house divided cannot stand. And so he loves his church. He died for it. And he's been put on earth to glorify him and to do his work. Everything God wants to do on earth, he's going to do it through the church. Everything God wants to do, he's going to do it through the church. And the people, of course, people make up the church. That's how God wants to work. And Satan is doing everything he can to destroy it. I'll tell you what Satan does a lot of times, and I was talking to our Sunday school class about this today. What Satan wants to do is he wants to distract us. Because we do anything and everything under the sun except do what God told us to do, and that's go into all the world and preach the gospel. Huh? Yeah, I mean, we get all concerned about all these other things, man, dinners and breakfasts and all this, but where is it when we go soul winning? Where is it when we're out knocking on doors and trying to lead people to Christ? We get so sidetracked. We got ball teams and we got cookouts and we got bowling things and King's Dominion and all that, and we can get a big old crowd. But where are we when we're trying to... The one thing, there's only one thing he said, I got one commission for you, and that's go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's it. He ain't really care about nothing else. But Satan gets us sidetracked on all this other stuff. Man, we get to doing this. We got bazaars. I'll tell you what, that's a good name for them. There's a lot of bizarre things goes on in churches. Amen. We got bazaars, man. We got yard sales. We got this and that and the other thing, man. We're selling little bottles of oil, man. We got exercise programs. We're selling Tupperware and baskets, and I don't know what all we got going on. Amen, Penny. I like them baskets. I do. And listen, man, it wouldn't be as much wrong with those things. Except the fact is, we got the commission on the back burner. We're not really, you know, we're not so much interested in doing what God told us to do. You'd rather pay somebody else to do it. I got a problem. I'll tell you what, with the church, this goes right along with it, so to speak. But there's some ministries out there. I get these missionaries calling me all the time. And they say, well, we're doing this mission, that mission, this mission. And they're all in the United States. Rock of Ages Prison Ministry. I mean, they have a ministry to people that are in prisons. And I'm thinking, why don't the churches that are around the prisons do that? Why do we got to pay somebody to do it? I'll tell you why. You would rather take your wallet out, fork a couple bucks over for somebody else to do what God commanded you to do. Amen. Amen, preacher. That's good stuff right there. That we'd rather pay somebody else to do it than do it ourselves. Now, we don't mind. I told them Sunday school. We don't mind. What's easier to do? Nail a board up against something, nail a board and fix a falling down door, or take your Bible and go to somebody and witness to them one-on-one soul winning. I tell you, it's easier to nail that board up. So a lot of us, boy, we get a missionary going, we're going to fix up a bunch of broken down houses, we'll get a big crowd. But we're going to go out and walk around, we're going to talk to people about Jesus, we're going to come up to people and confront them with the gospel of Jesus Christ, ask them if they're saved, and try to lead them to the Lord, and people don't want to do that. We'd rather pay somebody else to do it. You just do it, preacher. You just do it. Huh? Yeah, we're paying you to do it. We'll pay the missionaries to do it. We'll pay the evangelists to do it, but we don't want to do it. And so that, you know, we've got to that point right there. Listen, Jesus, Satan wants to distract us from what we're supposed to do. If he can't destroy us, he'll just distract us. Because he don't care how many times we meet here. Listen, Satan doesn't really care about this little meeting right here. As long as y'all don't go out and do anything with it. As long as y'all just sit here, keep it in your little heart, and never take the gospel out and share it with anybody else. Never go out and live a Christian life. Listen, you can sit in all the preaching services you want. You can sing all the praise songs you want. You can amen when the preacher preaches all you want. Just don't do nothing with it. Huh? Don't do nothing with it. I had somebody ask me, and I won't tell you who that was, and I won't tell you who the other part was, but they asked me about a couple in our church. And they said, boy, you know, they might be good for a certain ministry in our church. I said, yeah, but there's one problem. I said, they're just Sunday morning attenders. He goes, you know, because he asked me, where are they at and spiritually? I said, they're just Sunday morning attenders. That's all they do. Sunday morning attend. I mean, how are you going to use anybody in a leadership position for that? How are you going to use anybody to reach anybody else if you can't get past that hump right there? You know, we're supposed to love God. Listen, men showing up Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, that's not much love. If you only saw your wife once a week at 11 o'clock from 11 to 12, how do you think your wife would feel about it, fellas? Huh? How do you think your wife would feel about it? Or fellas, if your wife only saw you, listen, at 11 o'clock, and you better not go over 12 too long. Huh? You get over 12 too long, I'm going to be upset about it. If we only went from 11 to 12 with our spouses, how would your spouse feel about that? But that's all the relationship a lot of people want to have with God. Huh? Listen, man, listen, we're not doing the will of God from the heart. Huh? Listen, man, I want all of you to come back on Sunday night. I honestly do. I'd love to see it. They told me it never failed. Preacher boy, when you left Sunday night, man, it looked like a ghost town. There wasn't hardly anybody in here. It was echoing in the church when they was preaching. Huh? Every time I go, listen, man, I don't want you to come for me. I want you to come for God. Huh? I want you to come for God. I'd love to see all of you back on Sunday night, but not because preacher wants us all to come back on Sunday night. It's because you love God. It's because you love God and you got a desire to hear the Word of God. You've got a desire to be around God's people. Huh? You've got a desire to grow in Christ. That's why. That's why I want you to come back. But don't come back because I want you to come back. Come back because of those other things, because you love God. That's what I'm looking for. That's what God's looking for. It's not doing any good for you just to come back for some man's rules or somebody else's desire. Listen. I mean, that's just the way it is. And we ought to be loving God no matter who's preaching in the pulpit. Huh? We ought to be loving God no matter who's here or where the preacher's gone or where everybody else is. We ought to be loving God. The Bible says the church is a pillar in the ground of truth, and a Satan attacks the ground of truth with lies. The church is God's temple, and Satan wants to move in and live there too. The church is God's army, and Satan wants to put as many traitors in the ranks as he can. Oh, it's easy to condemn Ananias and Sapphira, but how about examining our own lives? When we pray, do we mean everything we pray about in public? When we sing those hymns, a lot of times people say, boy, I'll tell you what, I heard a pastor said this. He said, I wish I really had a good song leader. Man, I mean a guy that just got out there and, you know, can sing and you can go up and down the aisle, man, and get everybody singing, man, and going along and getting everything, and getting everybody could really, you know, knew all the words without... He said, I wish I had that going and everything and sing. But I'll tell you what, you know, I said, well, you know, a lot of times we sound kind of mealy-mouthed when we sing the hymns. But I got to thinking about it. Somebody said, well, you know what? I guess if you really don't mean the words in the hymns, I'd be kind of mealy-mouthed about it too. You know, why get all enthusiastic about something you don't mean in your heart? Huh? I surrender all. When you know good and well, you're not going to surrender all. And say, I surrender all. Huh? Yeah, that's probably what is at the bottom of it. But do we mean them, all those things that we sing when we sing those songs? Do we honor God with our lips, but our heart is far from Him? If God killed religious deceivers today, how many church members would be left? Gonna be a lot of burnt spots, boy. We'd have to get that's why they had them old wooden pews in the old days. These cloth ones wouldn't take the heat. These Clausmans wouldn't take the heat. If God killed them today, how many church members would be left? It wasn't a case of church discipline, but it was God's personal judgment. If they had judged themselves, God would not have judged them. But they lied, and listen to this. They got with each other and they agreed to lie. We're going to make everybody think we gave all the money. We're going to make everybody. They had to get with somebody, two Christians, two church member Christians had to get together and say, this is what we're going to make everybody else think. Had to be pride. Had to be because they wanted to get the glory that God was supposed to get. Look what it says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 30 and 31. Hebrews 10, 30 and 31. Look what he says here. Verse 30 said, for we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Once again, that's written to believers, man. Written to believers. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Ananias was dead and buried, and Sapphira didn't even know about it. I think it was about 3 hours. It said it was a space of 3 hours. You know why that is? Because Satan keeps everybody in the dark. Satan keeps everybody in the dark. Listen. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, man. He keeps everybody in the light, but Satan keeps you in the dark. He doesn't know what's going on. And listen, Satan doesn't care about you. He didn't care about the fact they lost their lives. He'll get him two more traitors in there. You wait and see. He'll get two more traitors in the church. You start reading early days of the church, you'll see he got them in there. Satan always keeps people in the dark. Their sin was deliberate. They deliberately disobeyed God, seeing how far God would go. How many of you, and I got on one of the camp, a lot of got on him, I kind of pulled his chain a little bit, I guess, at Bible camp, one of those leaders, counselor. His little boy down there by first base, we was out there playing t-ball. I forgot his name. He's telling him, get back, don't get down there by first base, get back. Kid didn't pay attention to him. Standing right there near first base, some big kid going to come in and run him over. He said, get back, get back, get back, get back. I had parrots, man, that went over. Could have said that over and over and over again. Get back, get back, get back. I said, man, go down there and get and fire him up. Man, he'll get back. I said, you know, Johnny don't. Didn't do it. Wait. How many of you, when you was kids, see you had a parent like that, those of you younger ones, how many of you kids that are here now got a parent like that now? Where you know when they say don't do it, that they're probably not going to pay attention, and nothing's going to happen if you go ahead and do it anyway. Anybody want to raise their hand on that? Huh? I didn't have that. I didn't tell my daddy but once. I told my mom twice, and I tell my dad once. Or mess around one time, and after that, go to the dentist, get your teeth put back in. Here's your teeth, son. Go on down there and get them. You keep doing it, and you push them. And a lot of you got parents like this. You know eventually they're going to do something. Did Priscilla like that? You know that eventually they're going to do something. But you know what it is? You just see how far you can push them till they do it. You keep pushing their button and pushing their button and pushing their button. And then finally, my dad had a certain tone of voice when I knew when he said no. That was usually only on the second no, by the way, that was it. You know, you better go ahead and not do whatever it is he's saying no about or whatever. But some of you know, just how far. And that's what they were doing. And a lot of people do that with God. They push God, and they just want to see how far God will go before he does something about it. A lot of people do that now. They keep on sinning. And they know, I know it's not right, preacher, but. I know it's not right, preacher, but. Got that little but you always put on there. And they want to see if God's going to do something about it. They were daring God to act. And I'm going to tell you something, brother. He acted. He acted. Old Ananias walked in there, buddy, and he fell down dead. Wow, man. He fell down dead. I'll tell you what, if Sapphira had heard about it, she'd have been nervous. She'd have been real nervous right about that time after that was it. And I believe people that are deliberately disobeying God right here in this church, yes, sir, and I can preach it anywhere in the world today. There's people right here in this church that deliberately disobey God, daring him to act and doubting that he will act. Those people down there, that freedom of religion group down there, they daring God. But now, listen, they're outside the church. They're not saved. They're not. I mean, this was dealing with it inside the church, and God's going to deal with them in a different way. But I'm going to tell you what, one day he's going to act. He's going to act. And when he acted, listen, it was swift. It was with finality.
He acted.
Matthew 4:7, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Huh? You shall not tempt your God, who's the one true God, if you say, thou shalt not, what if you do? He may act swiftly, and he could act finally as far as life on this earth is concerned. Their sin was not robbing God of money, it was robbing God of glory. And then the last little part of the verse in Acts, it said that great fear moved over and through the church. I tell you, that's something that we need today. Fear just means this. It's reverential respect. It doesn't mean that you're afraid of God. But I would be afraid of his judgment. But there's the early church had three things. And all three things need to be present in the church today. Number one, great power, great grace, and great fear. All three things need to be present in church today. Hebrews 12, I'm going to read this last little verse and I'll close. Hebrews chapter 12, took my bookmarker out, thought I was done. Hebrews 12:28 says, wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. But look at the next verse. For our God is a consuming fire. Our God is a consuming fire. Great power, great grace, great fear. Listen, man, we need to understand that God's going to judge sin. He judges it differently for the believers than he does the lost, but it's judged nevertheless. Listen, God, don't keep pushing God to see how far you can go, because one day God will act, and it'll be swift, it'll be fine. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand with our heads bowed, eyes closed. Heavenly